This morning, your shepherds are presenting our goals, our vision for 2026. The elders are sitting up front. There's just one missing, and that is Buddy Clark, and he does not feel well today. God's word repeatedly emphasizes the importance of vision. Spiritual vision that provides guidance, hope, and direction when our eyes are truly open. As shepherds of this local flock, we are trying to imitate our chief shepherd. Our responsibility is to help provide that vision so that together we can walk circumspectly. Ephesians 5 and verse 15 says, not as fools, but as wise, living lives aligned with the purposeful vision of our Savior and our Lord. Our prayers for this congregation echoes the Apostle Paul's words to the Christians in Ephesus. Ephesians 1 verses 18 through 19 says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. We all need this kind of enlightenment. Eyes of the heart that truly see. Without such vision, we cannot experience the freedom, the hope, the power, or the transforming glory found in Jesus Christ. And it is important to remember that Paul speaks not of our calling, but his calling. His calling is found in Jesus Christ, who came at the appointed time with a clear mission to seek and to save the lost. And that is exactly what we must do. As we were reminded very well last week, God often works through small beginnings. What may seem to us to be small is ordained by God. And he uses these beginnings for his eternal glory and for our joy. Small beginnings matter. Let's consider what we accomplished in 2025. In the past year as a family, we were all part of the following: the transition from Josh Creel to Josh Higgins. So happy they have the same first name. We want to commend the congregation here for the support, for the encouragement that took place during that transition, for the work that JP did, and for God answering our prayers. That was a tremendous blessing. The special contribution in support of the brethren affected by the hurricane in Jamaica. Evangelistic trips by JP and his family and Lauren Chapeau to Mexico, and Steve and Pam to Ethiopia and the Seychelles. And many gave additional funds to support these trips. Upon their return to the States, they provided a detailed and informative report regarding the impact of the gospel among these brethren. We added support for Keith Hagwood, additional Ethiopian preachers, and Mark McCrary. The continued success in local evangelism led so effectively by JP. And then the continual funding and support for our local preachers as well as those in America and overseas. 2025 saw opportunities seized and good work accomplished. And you were a part of that. You accomplished these things. We commend you on your generosity and your support in these efforts. God was glorified by what was done. Our local evangelists. We also want to commend our men who labor among us at university. JP is continuing his good work among us and other places proclaiming the Word of God. And I believe his dedication is obvious to all of us. Since Josh and Katie arrived here in September, there is no doubt we have all been so pleased and grateful that they are here. They are a great blessing to our family. We're also grateful for Luke Reeves and his continued help in our Hispanic work. Thank you, Luke. His contributions are both capable and valuable to this important work. We have an excellent team working here at university. Now looking forward to 2026, I'm reminded of what our Lord said in Matthew 4 and verse 19. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. The call of Jesus is deeply personal and profoundly significant. It is more than an invitation. It is a call to step beyond comfort and orient our lives fully around Jesus. To follow Christ means allowing his teachings to shape our attitudes, our actions, and our priorities. At the heart of discipleship is a willing participation in Jesus' mission. Ministry, however, is not merely the work we do for others. Ministry is the work Jesus does to his people, so that they may come to know him as their Lord. As Josh has reminded us, ministry is being so full of Jesus that he spills out of our lives into the lives of others. Steve now will finish up the presentation.
Yeah, there are just two of us getting up, not all eight of us. That relieves you any. Well, our thing for 2026 is disciple. Be one, make one. It's a simple phrase. And yet it reflects the great task God has entrusted to his people, faithfulness begins with small, intentional acts of obedience. So be one, make one. It's a phrase we want to sink into our hearts and minds this year. Throughout 2026, we're going to walk together in a year-long focus on discipleship, what it means to follow Jesus, and how that life naturally leads to helping others follow him also. Key emphasis is going to be on connection and community, particularly through being baptized into Christ, becoming a part of the family of God, and our life within the local church. Spiritual growth flourishes in this community. The local church is the framework that Christ created, in which we will have the greatest opportunity to succeed, to be able to become what he wants us to do. That's why there is a local church. And we want this spiritual community to be one that encourages and supports and works together. We do have some theme cards in the foyer for you to pick up today to use through the year to keep you focused on the different things we'll be talking about. But remember this, when we're talking about discipleship, we're not talking about achieving perfection. We can't do that. But it's about daily surrender as we grow in our relationship with Christ, of learning to take advantage of each of the small opportunities that come into our life daily. God places these before us, and we must take advantage of them. Be encouraged. Be an encourager. As recipients of grace, extend your grace to others. Be ready to share the good news. These are the things we want to emphasize throughout this year. It was through simple, faithful acts that the seed of Christianity took root and ultimately changed the entire world. There's a lot of opportunities we try to provide as a congregation for all of us to grow together, to practice discipleship, to become more than we've been in the past. Through the year ahead, we have things planned like our teen weekend. Josh Greer is going to do our teen weekend this year. We have a weekend gospel meeting planned with some of our own college men, our gospel meeting planned for Hispanic brethren. Roger Polanco is going to come and do that. Roger has spoken for us before. In the fall, Tim Jennings is going to come and spend a few days preaching to us. Our summer series this year is entitled Battle Tested, The Armor of God. And we will have, as we have in the past, some of the outstanding men in our area who preach and teach to come and speak for us, as well as some of our own men speaking on this theme during the Wednesday nights during the summer. But there are continuing things that go on constantly that we want to encourage you to be involved in that will help you develop as a disciple. It's so important that we take advantage of these things, these neighborhood devotionals that we do on average twice a month, where you have that opportunity in a more intimate setting to sit down and to get to know your brethren and to worship and to pray with them. They're such faith builders. We continue our teen devotionals, our ladies' devotionals, our men's accountability class. I encourage more of you to become involved in our weekly prayer Zoom meeting on Thursday nights, where we can get together and pray for the specific needs that others have. It's a great faith builder. Get involved in helping to teach our new converts and in our visitor and prospect Bible studies. All these are opportunities, continuing opportunities you have to get involved and to develop and to mature yourself to grow your discipleship as a part of this local congregation. You do all of that. We do all of these things together while we continue our own personal development in Bible study and prayer and in service. Well, our work obviously involves the finances needed to carry out the local work, both here and in other places. Actually, money is one of the most discussed topics in the New Testament. And it's the way our culture functions. We need money. You need money. This work depends upon our being willing to financially support the carrying out of the Lord's work. We commend your financial support. Some of you give out of your abundance. Some of you give out of a very limited income that you may have. When we give what we can, God is glorified, no matter what the amount is that we give. And Scripture teaches we give as we have been prospered. It also teaches we give sacrificially when needed. And we are so thankful for your contributions to the Lord and his work this past year. And what you will do, whatever you are able to do in that way. Your weekly contributions provide funding for our local preachers, as well as for four other preachers in this country and 57 preachers overseas. These expenditures represent over 60% of the total budget. You also support the benevolent needs of your fellow Christians here and the needed edification of the local church and what that involves. Individual contributions, even beyond that, were made by many of you to support the Flores family and their Mexico work, and Pam and going to the Seychelles with me, and our teen and college devotional needs and flower funds and all those kind of things that involve finances. You've supported that well, and we're grateful for that. We're about to face a very significant maintenance expense here. We've got to replace the roof on this auditorium. This is what happens as buildings age. And so we have a responsibility, or we have a upcoming expense of about $72,000 to put on a new roof. We're going to begin this work shortly, so it will be completed before the rainy season to avoid damage to our building. Now, that cost will be partially covered by reserves that we keep from a previous amount set aside for such things, also of over $26,000, and an increased amount in this year's budget for maintenance. It's necessary to keep reserves on hand. And sometimes you look at the financial statement and look at the bottom line, and it looks like a big number. Remember, that only represents about maybe a three-month reserve. That's all it is. And we try to keep that because of emergencies that may arise and other responsibilities that we have. So we do keep that on hand for expenses and emergencies. And we're grateful to you that this time we can take care of this need without having to come to you for added finances in order to accomplish it. We make our plans financially based on your giving pattern. Last year's need was based on a weekly contribution of $12,000. We averaged $11,600. You did respond in a very special way over and above with the contribution for our hurricane impoverished brethren in Jamaica, and it was amazing what you did in relation to that. We're setting our budget for 2026 based on your giving in 2025. And we would love to do more than we have in the budget. We usually budget extra funds each year for evangelism, hoping to do more than is planned. This year, we've had to use those funds to help pay for this roof. So if our giving increases above our planned budget, that will help us to do more in spreading the gospel, as we tried to do each year. So keep that in mind in your giving. We pray you will consider it in 2026. Well, in conclusion, every journey begins with a step, one step. We need the mutual encouragement of each other to spur one another on to love and good works, as the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 10 and verse 24. In our culture today, much ado about nothing is often invoked by the world to criticize the overreaction to seemingly inconsequential matters. Brethren, being a disciple of Christ is far from insignificant. Most of us will never have an opportunity to do some grandiose thing that all the world sees. But the way we live, the lives we touch with the gospel, the small acts of kindness we do, the teaching that we may try to share with others, we can have large impactful impressions upon others by doing these small things. We urge you to do what you can right now. Who can you help now? Who can you serve now? What can you do for the Lord now? Our great God is the reason for any success that any of us may have. So look to Him to give it as we take our steps forward in faith. This year, be a disciple. Be one. Make one. Serve with your whole heart. Tim's going to come and lead us in prayer.
Let us bow. Our Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you this morning. We are so blessed. We are a blessed people, a blessed nation, and we are a very blessed church family here at University. We have so many that do so much to your glory and to make this work a success. We are so thankful for the evangelists that we have that work with us here, as was mentioned, the things that JP and Chelsea do for us, and we are thankful for Josh and Katie Higgins that have come our way. We're so blessed to have Luke Reeves in doing the special work that he does, and also Steve and Pam Patton, the work that they do. We thank you so much. We are thankful for our prosperity and our ability to support the men that were mentioned across this globe, the men in Ethiopia and Liberia, Jimmy Petraus and Seychelles, adding Mark McRae, Keith Hagwood and Luther Pratt. And we pray that the things that they do to the glory of your name that their work will be blessed. Please bless their hands, Lord. Heavenly Father, may we continue to be the tree that was planted in Psalms chapter 1, planted by a stream where the leaves never fade, yielding fruit that gives you glory. May we continue to be prosperous spiritually, and continue to be the shining light of hope to those that we encounter in our daily walk of life. May we not only be disciples of you, but may we go and make disciples this coming year. Dear Lord, we are thankful for your blessings this past year, and may we glorify you and your name in everything that we say and do. This we pray through your Son. Amen.
I don't often ask for an amen, but I will here in a moment. Been here just about 3 months now, but I can say here, I am so thankful for the shepherds among us, those who are willing to put in the time and the effort and the heart that it takes to help lead us all closer to God. And so I just wanted to say thank you to these men and the work that they do. That is something, to have leadership that cares and wants to know that we're on the right track and walking toward heaven. I have just a moment to talk to you that I thought would be good to add to this idea of being a disciple, being one. Kind of summarizing what that looks like, I think, comes down to a unique journey that involves three different B's. And so let me give those to you very quickly. It is about believing, it is about becoming, and it is about belonging. And so if you're here, I want you to hear, again, the reading we had earlier, Colossians 3:12-15. God has chosen you and made you his holy people. He loves you, so you should always clothe yourselves with mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive each other. If someone does you wrong, forgive that person because the Lord forgave you. Even more than all this, clothe yourself in love. Love is what holds you all together in perfect unity. And let the peace that Christ gives control your thinking, because you were called together in one body to have peace. Always be thankful. I got to tell you, you may have been a Christian long enough where people who knew you before you were a Christian have started to see there's a difference. I hope that's true. Because what's happened once you decide to become a child of God, to be buried with Christ and born again, is he's made you new. Now, we don't always see it, but I just want to kind of remind you about some things that have changed in us. You know, one of the biggest changes within the Christian is the fact that we believe differently. And I will just say this, we believe some incredible things. We believe that God created what is seen with what is unseen. That he made all of this by his power and his might. That all the people in the world for all time, the entire universe, everything was made by God. God made everything on purpose and for a purpose. We believe that Jesus is God's one and only Son, and that he is one with God. That he was sent by God into this world on a rescue mission to rescue the perishing from their sin, to save us and reunite us with God, whom our sins had separated us from. We believe that Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of a virgin. Just think about that one thought alone. That is an unbelievable thought, but we hold that truth in God's plan. In fact, if you think at times that's hard for you to believe, I always really empathize for Mary. That had to be really hard for her to believe. But she was convicted by what God wanted to do in her and through her, and we hold this belief. We believe that Jesus suffered and was crucified. And that he not only suffered and died, but he suffered for our sins. It was for what we did that he died. He was falsely accused. He was abused. He was brought under the Roman governor Pontius Pilate, where he was then mocked and taunted and beaten and nailed to a cross. We believe what Peter says in 1 Peter 2 at verse 23, that people insulted Christ, but he did not insult them in return. That Christ suffered, but he did not threaten. He let God, the one who judges rightly, take care of him. Christ carried our sins in his body on the cross so we would stop living for sin and start living for what is right. And we are healed because of those wounds. And we believe that Jesus died and was buried. Buried in a borrowed tomb. A man named Joseph loaned him that tomb. The nice thing is, I don't think Joseph could have been aware he wasn't going to use it for very long. Because we believe that Jesus rose again. Yes, he truly died, but was raised from the dead. That resurrection is real. And more than that, we believe that those who put their faith in Christ will one day be raised in that likeness as well. And we believe that Jesus, having raised from the dead, ascended into heaven. And that Jesus is now seated at the right hand of God. And by faith in Jesus Christ, we know that's where we will join him one day. I love the scene of Acts 1. Where Jesus has risen and he's walked around the earth and he's talked to many disciples. And there, his disciples, the few 12, are watching him. And it says, after he said this, they were watching and he was lifted up and a cloud hid him from their sight. And as he was going, they were looking into the sky. Suddenly, two men wearing white clothes stood beside him and they said, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing here looking into the sky? Jesus, whom you saw taken up from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you saw him go." And that moment changed this world. We believe that. What those men saw, they were convicted of, they were convinced by, and they started to share around this world. And they taught us that we believe that the Jesus who ascended into heaven will one day come in the clouds again. Paul writes to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 4 at verse 16, "The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and those who have died believing in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive will be gathered up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And we will be with the Lord forever." So encourage each other with these words. And we believe that people who repent of their sins and are born again of spirit and of water will be forgiven. And we believe that anyone can be saved by what God has done. We believe a lot of incredible things. And why I wanted to start with the believing piece of this is It's true that people behave because of what they believe. And while what we just said, many of this world don't understand yet, they don't know yet, they don't hold on to yet, we believe it, and those beliefs change the way we live our lives. And so we're not only believing something, we're becoming something. My favorite thing about understanding who Christ is and being buried with Him in baptism is not just that my sins are forgiven, but that I will not be who I was before any longer. We are new creatures in Christ. He is making us new day by day. And yes, none are perfect yet. But in that day, we will be completed. We are becoming now what He wants us to be. We become that by knowing who Jesus is. And so we examine scriptures and we follow in His footsteps. We become something different by loving like Jesus loved. You know, the commandment is not just that we do unto others as they do unto us, or as we would have them do unto us. The commandment is we love others like Jesus loved us. We are becoming more loving like Christ. We are growing in His wisdom. We are becoming humble like Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who stooped down before He gave His life and washed the feet of the 12 He called. Said to those men, I do this as an example. And the example was this. We have to deal with our pride and with our boastful spirit. Philippians 2, 3 through 5 says, do not let selfishness or pride be your guide. Instead, be humble and give more honor to others than to yourselves. Do not be interested only in your own life, but be interested in the lives of others. In your lives, you must think and live like Jesus Christ. And so we're becoming more like Him. We do that by being considerate of others and all that they do. Paul teaches us to be like God in our love, that love is patient, that love is kind, it is never boastful, arrogant, or rude. And we become more like Jesus by watching our tone and our attitude with others, trying to be more like our Lord. But I think to cap all of that off, it's not just that we are believing and becoming. I think essentially what makes this so precious is that we now belong. We are not alone in this world, and that was one of God's greatest desires for us. Remember, one of the first things God said about creating humankind was, it is not good that man should be alone. We belong to Christ, and we belong to one another. I'm going to read a quote to you that I really enjoyed. N.T. Wright said once, it is as impossible, unnecessary, and undesirable to be a Christian all by yourself as it is to be a newborn baby all by yourself. The church is first and foremost a community, a collection of people who belong to one another. They belong to God, the God we know and believe in through Jesus Christ. And though we often use the word church, he goes on to say, to denote a building, the point is that it's the building where this community meets. True. Buildings can and do carry memories, and when people have been praying and worshiping and mourning and celebrating in a particular building for many years, the building itself may come to speak powerfully of God's welcoming presence, but it is the people who matter. This church exists to worship God and to work together in this kingdom. And I just want to say something about that I think is really important. Everybody wants to belong at some level. It is one of the core basic desires we have. But if you've been in this world at all, you recognize that's hard to do. It's hard to get along. It's hard to be who we need to be. It's hard to sacrifice some of self so that others might have a moment. It's hard to become one in a community this large. But with God, all things are possible and better. I remember so many times playing silly games with my siblings. They would never do it the way I wanted to do it. That may be the curse of being the middle child, but you know, my brother was always right, and then when he was gone, my sister was always right. I just don't know how that happened. But one thing I learned is I'd rather play than not play, and so I just got along. You know, peacemakers have a lot more fun in this world. And I would just give you the encouragement as a body of Christ. And yes, I say encouragement. You will be offended by someone here. This is my prediction for the coming year. Someone will bother you. They'll say something they probably didn't think about when they said it. You'll be upset. You will feel hurt. In fact, you might even be betrayed by somebody here. Look to Jesus. He knows how all this feels. Here's my challenge. Not to avoid any of that, but when it happens, what are you going to do with all of that? It is much better for us to learn how to bear with one another and build relationships with one another and overcome things together. That's what belonging does. Because we believe what we believe, we are becoming something different. And when that happens, we truly do belong to each other, thick or thin, good or bad. God is building something bigger. I'll just give you this last little thought before the final invitation, and it's this. I love this story, partly because my dad was a Marine. I think he probably shared it with me. But this was a story that had happened where a high school had allowed the military recruiters to come in at the end of a... man, when you have a cold, your brain is just blocked. It's not a ceremony, but kids in high school, what do they call you to? An assembly, that's what it is. So they had an assembly. And so the whole school's in the assembly, and the administrator's like, look, we don't really want you guys to be here long, and so we're going to give you the last 30 minutes, and each four branches can get up there and say your thing, just separate the time as needed. Well, of course, Army goes up first. The guy takes 15 minutes. That's well more than the time he should have taken. But Navy gets up and grabs his chance, and he talks for a little over 10 minutes, and Air Force takes his turn. The last one's up, the Marines, and the Marine gets up there with maybe less than 30 seconds to go. And for 10 seconds... he says nothing. If you've ever counted 10 seconds of silence, it's a lot. And he examines this room of students, and before the bell rings, he says, you know, looking out here, I don't see many of you that would fit or be qualified or be talented enough to be a Marine anyway. It's a tough job. It requires all you've got and maybe a little more. But to the few and the proud that are willing, I'll be meeting you out back as soon as the bell rings. And as the story goes, his line was filled. And I believe we like to be challenged. I believe we like to know that what we believe matters, that it's changing who we are and it's changing those around us. And I believe, though it's hard to live in unity in the kingdom, we know it's better and we want it. And so I commend all of you for being members of the body of Christ, citizens of his kingdom. And I challenge you this year, just love still more, excel even more. And if you're not in the kingdom of God, I want to change that story a little bit. God didn't call anybody because they were worthy. There is none worthy, no, not one. But God is calling you. And Jesus, seeing what this world has done to all of us, knows you're probably tired. And so he says, come to me, all you who are tired, weary, heavy burden, and I'll give you rest. But you know, when he calls you into rest, that's only the first part. He also sends you back out to work. But here's the difference. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. You see, Jesus says, partner with me, work with me. Are you tired of trying to do it on your own? Are you tired of thinking you can somehow save yourself or through good works make a difference? It won't work. If you're willing today to put all your trust in Jesus Christ, it will pay off, I tell you, immediately. Repent of your sins. Confess in Jesus Christ, be buried with him in baptism, and start a new walk. You are on the journey to believing, becoming, and belonging exactly like God wants you to be. If you're ready to do that today, you can let us know. If you're here and you need our prayers, I never want to leave a service where we don't remind each other as citizens of the kingdom and members of this body that this is a great opportunity to say to your brothers and sisters, please pray for me. None of us have this all figured out. We need each other. We need wisdom from one another. We need encouragement from one another. And so if you need the prayers of this group, you can let us know as well. If either is the case, come to the front or speak to someone in the back. But let's stand and sing a song of encouragement together.